You may be seated. I know that my musicians are ready to play and to sing, but there's something important that I do want to delve into tonight. I think it's vitally important that we have an understanding of the always truth. Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all of our gathering, we need to get understanding. And that is the revelation of that wisdom becomes very practical in our lives, that we understand what the Father is expressing unto us. It is either that we're dealing with truth and factualities, or we're dealing with a fable or lies. It is either that He is real, and He has revealed Himself by the manifestation of His Word in flesh, that we may literally know Him. He wants us to know Him in a personal way, as many of the old saints would say. And so I do want to start tonight because there's one thing important that I want to express. And above all things, I want you to get an understanding. And so what I have done tonight, I have made copies of three definitions of words. I have one from the lexicon. Now, I did make a copy of the Greek lexicon, but I have definitions. And I want you to take one of these. And what I want you tonight, as I began to read scriptures, you write them down. And I have a list of scriptures in the back. And I want you, in your spare time, to read them. Literally every last one of them. I'm telling you, saints of Yahweh, whether you're saint or heathen, we're in an hour that is so deceptive. Unless we have the mind of Messiah, you're not going to make it. And if you think that this is some kind of a little play thing, you are kidding yourself. If you think it's some kind of little school game, you are a fool. It is either that what Yahweh has said is real, or it's a fabrication. It is a flat out lie. And so what Satan has done today, I tell you what he has done. He has imparted a spirit into the heart of man that they literally trust no one. They don't even trust the Father. They don't even know Him. So they don't trust Him. There's a spirit of untrust today like never before on the face of the earth. It is a very vile thing. Because it comes by way of accusation. Satan was an accuser. He accused the brethren. As I was speaking to Deacon Benny today and Brother Allen, as we walked around the community, I said, I'm very grateful for what Yahweh has done in every aspect of my life. I say, I could have very easily done as many, having no trust in anyone. Now, that's what this generation is. Whether you want to buy it or not, I buy the truth and I don't sell it. I don't buy lies and folly, but I buy the truth. And we are people that don't want to buy the truth. We love lies and fabrication. Now I want you to take one and pass one back. Now the young ones, you all can look on together. But you older ones, I want you to take one. I want to begin this orchestrated teaching tonight. If I may use that expression, because above all things, I want you to understand what Yahweh is trying to convey unto His people. We need to, above all things, in this hour, our spiritual mind must be open. It cannot be closed from the righteous laws of Yahweh, but we must have a mind to understand expressively what He is speaking in this hour. Now you can deny Him to your own peril, unto your own destruction. And that is not something that is amazing because the entire world denies Him. This is a very religious world. Today I spent hours simply looking at the different gods, and to my amazement, I can see the spirit and the anointing of those gods in many facets of life. Has nothing to do with Yahweh. Has nothing to do with His anointing at all. And if we do not have the Spirit, we will not know what the enemy is doing in this hour. That is why it's important, it's paramount, that we have the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. Without that, we're not going to make it end, nor are we going to see the very power and the anointing of Almighty Yahweh. I want to start in Psalms 119. And I want to ask you a question. Do you concur with this? Do you believe it? Or you don't believe it? Psalms 119 and verse 89. Psalms 119 and verse 89. This is actually truth, or it is a fabrication. David declared, by the Kodesh of Yahweh, that anointing, he said, first of all, forever. Forever, Lord, O Lord. And expressed that way in the King James. I want to read it that way, that it may bring an understanding unto your mind. Men in this hour, because of their own love of carnal things and natural things, as Yahweh has revealed truth unto men, they will not express that because they are afraid and timid, that they may lose what things that they think they possess. And they don't possess a thing at all. David said, as he declared by the unction, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, do you believe that? Do you all believe that the word of Yahweh is forever settled in heaven? Do you concur with that? No, I believe scriptures. He said, forever Yahweh. I know what it says in the King James rendition. It behooves many of you all, instead of using the little pennies you have in donuts and folly, to purchase your nice Yahweh Bible. Instead of spending it in frivolity and things that cater to the flesh, you need to do that. He said, first of all, Yahweh, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Now, I want to define that word forever. That's why I have it written out, I printed out for you, and it's number one, forever. It says, for a limitless time, at all times. Do you hear that? There's no limit on the time. It is a limitless time. And so when something is limitless, there is no measure to it. So it is for a limitless time. The word of Yahweh is forever settled in the kingdom. He has settled his word. There's nothing we can do for it or against it. We simply obey what he says. Now that is what I want to express unto you tonight, the foreverness of the word of Almighty Yahweh. For his word is forever. And there is nothing that's going to change that at all. You or I cannot change that, nor man. So we can't change what Yahweh says. Now the scripture says, I want to begin reading in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation. Now we have settled that. That is, it is concur, it is an agreement with all of us that his word is forever settled in heaven. It is limitless. There's no time. It is forever. It is forever settled in heaven. Forever. He has said it. It's settled. There's nothing we can say. It's finished. It's finished. It's settled. Forever. 1 billion years from now, it is still settled. 10 trillion years, it is still settled. So it's forever settled. Now the scripture says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, as John began to see the sealing of the assembly or the speaking, as the Malach of Yahweh began to speak to the assemblies for preparation of this great event that was about to transpire. He says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Yahshua the Messiah, or Jesus Christ. Is that not what it says? Who is the faithful witness? Now that is what Messiah is. He is the faithful witness. He is first of all the faithful witness. And a witness must witness toward or against a thing or something or someone. So he is the witness of someone, what Messiah is. I want to read it like that in that text, so it may bring clarity to your mind. That what you're always speaking in this hour, you're not going to deny it. You're not going to cast it aside. That is why it has pleased him that he has ordained men to proclaim the righteousness of his laws, that they may do it with expeditiousness, without being fearful or doubt of what man will do or say unto them. And so as John Yohanan saw this great manifestation of Yahweh sending the message unto the assemblies, he said, now there is a witness, and his name is Messiah. Now I don't believe he said Jesus Christ, but I will use that for your understanding. He said, who is the faithful witness, and he is the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We concur with that. We believe that we were washed from our sins by Messiah's blood. I have no compunction with that at all. I believe it. He said in verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion. For how long? Forever and ever. So the dominion of Almighty Yahweh is forever. His glory is forever. He has made us kings and priests on to Almighty Yahweh. And our comfort and security in that is that we know that he has dominion forever and ever. It is not a temporal dominion. It continues without ceasing. It is limitless. There's no limit of time that confines it. No limitation of time whereby the power of that manifestation or the purpose of Yahweh cannot be revealed. That's what forever is. It is without limit. It is without any barringers or any stronghold of time to hold them in place. It transcends time. It's what forever is. It transcends any time, any measure of time. It transcends that. That is what it does. His word is forever settled in heaven. It is forever. It is settled, it is said, and forever it is settled. And that's the truth. It is settled. John goes on to say in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through verse 11. He saw this profound door open in the heavens. And immediately the scripture says John was in the Spirit. Now that is the place we need to get, in the Spirit. This is a natural carnal generation. That's why it hates the truth of Yahweh. That is why this is a generation that despises his name. They don't love his name. You can't love him without loving his name. And what a profound thing in this hour that he will make known, that we may understand and love his name. He said, as I saw this great revelation revealed unto me, verse 8 of chapter 4 Revelation, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. What does it say in that text you're in? Lord God Almighty. But it actually should read, holy, 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 Yahweh, Elohim Almighty, El Shaddai, which was and is to come. And when those beasts, verse 9, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth what? And what? So he liveth forever and ever. His word is forever settled. Yahweh lives forever. The 4 and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. So we know he was talking to the one that man called God. For he created all things. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now for whose pleasure? It was for Almighty Yahweh. For his pleasure were all things made, and for his pleasure for all things created. And yet those that were around the throne, they began to cast the accolades unto him. Holy or reverence, kadosh, kadosh. Forever shall he be the mighty one. Forever and ever shall he retain his splendor of glory, majesty, and power. Forever he shall retain his luster, his powerful ambience, and nothing shall destroy that at all. He is Almighty Yahweh. He doesn't change. He has never changed from the beginning. Since he created the creation, he has never changed. What is his beginning? There is no beginning of him. That's why he is Yahweh. As I began to read the literature on the different gods, Apollos having a relationship with this one and that one, and they produce other gods. Until he came down and had a relationship with a natural woman. And they produce other gods. And there were gods of healing, gods of Apollos, god of musical or musical inclinations and all of that. There are thousands and thousands of gods. There are all kinds of gods and they all are created. It is Yahweh, he is the mighty El that has no beginning or no end. Gods are made, they are created, they are manufactured, but Yahweh is not created. He was not created. He is not classified like Zeus and Apollos and Dion and all the other gods. He has not come down to their level. He created them all. They're spiritual beings. They're corrupt and they're vile and they're evil. And they understand that the manifestation of the power that revealed the mighty strength of El is there's a worship that is shown unto him. And men are very thankful and grateful unto him for his mighty works. John said, I saw this mighty representation of pure worship. As they fell down before him, the one that sat on the throne, and they knew that he liveth, not just live now, but that he liveth forever. He doesn't possess, or his life is not temporal. It's not in the span of years, but it is a limitless life. He lives forever. His word is forever settled in the kingdom. Now, I want you to draw strength from that word forever, because there's something I want to show us in Scripture. The mind of man is so blinded because of religious theology and religious practices. We have missed the very manifestation or the power of this great king that we say we know. There is no power in the earth of his great anointing. There is no power in this earth of his great anointing. When there is power in this earth of his great anointing, we will bind every vile spirit. We have power to tread on the head of serpents, to cast out unclean spirits, and to walk free from the power of sin. Messiah did that. That is why he was made flesh. The word was made flesh to be challenged by the powers of hell. And if we have the word of Yahweh in our hearts, we will not sin against him. We have hid a fleshly tradition in our hearts to tell us we're going to sin, we're going to go astray, but the word of Yahweh doesn't tell us that. He sent his son to deliver us from all powers of darkness, from sin, and he did not sin. There was no guile found in him. There was no sin in his members. He did not sin. Somewhere we have missed the mark. Somewhere we have missed the boats. We have missed it. I understand what these vile liars tell us and have told us. You can cast that aside all you want to. You can look at your own life and tell me, is that a representation of the power of Almighty Yahweh or the God you think you know? No strength and no power. No anointing. It is the anointing that breaks every yoke. That why are we yoked down and bound? Why are you bearing about with the yoke about your neck? And we have the anointing of Yahweh. Why are we in such yokes of bondage? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And the way you understand it, you must first learn of him. And we have not exactly learned of him. He says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. I'm going to press on. I know what it's going to take in this hour. You see the vile thing, what this world loves, what they're doing on what they call Super Bowl High Sunday. They got this vile halftime show. It's in the papers. They got these perverted things in lingerie, dressed naked. And they're going to play football before 100 million people. Now these women, that is what they're going to do. They're going to feed this trash into the minds of the children. Parents will sit there and their sons and daughters will watch that. It is not the actual thing what they're doing, the naked women. It is the fact that it opened up their hearts to every vile spirit that Satan intends to part into them. That is what it does. That is why we must behold him and look upon him, set our affection on things that are above. And that will open up unto us those spiritual gifts that we need in this hour. You can say that your affection has been set upon him. I would pray that you judge your own heart. You can say that my affection has been set upon him. I say to you, my friend, I would pray and hope you would judge your heart and the intent of your heart. When a man's affection is upon him, his life is consumed by him. His desire of all things is to please him. So I would say to you, you ought to question your own intents. We like to say things to satisfy our flesh, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans to Yahweh. If the heart is not pure and sincere, and we don't love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength, the reason we don't do it because we think he's literally telling us a lie. He means what he says. He commands that. He's not going to accept anything less. And this is a perverted generation. They don't love him and they don't know how to love each other. They don't know what love is. They're not pleased with each other and they're not pleased with him. They will treat each other like hell. That's why they treat him like hell. He says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, and the angel, and all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their face, and they worship who? Worship Yahweh. And it says in verse 12, saying, amen, blessing, and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our Yahweh for how long? Forever and ever. Now these are the angelic powers of the kingdom, and yet they speak in a language that we may understand the power of Yahweh's eternity and the manifestation of this great king. He's an eternal one. He's not a temporal one. And every God is temporal. Every spiritual being is temporal. Yahweh has no beginning, and He has no end. Every God. Show me one God that has no beginning. Show me every God. Even Satan was created by Almighty Yahweh. Even we that we are gods, we were created by Him. We were created by Him. And every God is created. Our lazy minds will not allow us to extend beyond our little carnal minds and our carnal flesh. And so there's not an appetite for those things that will bring about a greater understanding that we do have. We can't know. We just simply don't want to know. We don't want to exert the time or the energy to truly find out. That's the problem with the people of Yahweh today. We can find about every kind of gossiping, trashy thing. When it comes to those things that will produce a profound anointing in your soul, we will not spend 1 minute on that. When it comes to folly and foolishness and frivolity and gossiping and backbiting, you will spend hours and time on those things. And you wonder why there's no spiritual depth or no spiritual power today. We can't pray for ourselves, and you certainly can't pray for one another. There's no yearning in your heart to pray for your brother or your sister, so you can't even pray for yourself. It's going to take His cleansing. It's going to take His cleansing. And His cleansing comes by mercy and truth. All iniquity is purged. That's why He cleanses you by mercy and truth. He lets you know what kind of deceitful heart you possess and what things that are in you. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That is how it is purged. And so He's going to deal with truth in this hour. He is the truth. And there's no lie in Him. One more in Revelation chapter 10. Verse 5. 6 and verse 7. Verse 5 in Revelation 10. And the Moloch which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up His hand to the heavens. And He promised, or He sware by Him that lived for what? Forever and ever. Who created heaven? Who created heaven? Yahweh did. And the things therein are. And the earth. And the things that are therein are. And the sea. And the things which are therein. That there shall be time no more longer. No more time for man to get it right. No more time for repenting. No more time to search his heart. There should be no time no more at all. It says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seven Moloch, the seventh angel, which he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished, and he hath declared to his servants the prophet. There will be no doubt about him in that day. Man shall know who he is, for they also declare his name and declare the power of his glory. For the mystery of Yahweh shall be no more. None whatsoever. You will know the power and the price your sins will cost you to pay. This is a nation that doesn't even think that sin is real. And that's why the minds of Yahweh's people, it is so embedded in carnal things they don't even know. When they sin, when they transgress, when they do wickedly, they can't even discern what they're doing. Because there's not much of His Spirit today. It's a religious manifestation that has been brought through channels of tradition of our forefathers, and that is what we have learned. It has not been a practical thing that has come forth by an experience with Him. When there is an experience, you will love Him the more. You will call upon Him the more. You will honor Him the more. And we don't call upon Him truly. We truly don't honor Him. We honor Him with our lips and our mouths, but our hearts are far from Him. He is not the most immediate thing on our minds or hearts. For He lives forever. His kingdom is forever. His throne is forever. His mercies endureth forever. Now I believe those scriptures that I've just brought unto you. Forever, O Yahweh, Thy word is settled in heaven. And I want to read this as well, too. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 72. I want you, first of all, turn to Psalm 72. And then I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 72 and Psalms 23. Now I want to read that last verse of Psalms 23. You all will say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You all believe that. One of the first verses many of us ever learned. Now what about the last one? Did you believe this? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You believe that? Do you believe that, saints? David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You believe you're going to dwell in the house of that one that this text called Lord forever? He said, I shall dwell how long? And so forever is limitless. There's no time limit associated to that. None whatsoever. Now I want to show you one of David's prayers in Psalms 72. Psalm 72 and verse 17. The first six words. His name shall endure how long? Now I wanted to look and see what the word endure mean. I have it on here. Endure, the last one, three. Endure. To undergo as hardship, especially without giving in, suffer. But I have that one. You can see to continue in the same state. Now that's what enduring is. It's to continue in the same state. Well, what does continue mean? To maintain without interruption a condition, course, or action to remain in existence. It never changes. It never changes. Now, do you understand what words he used? He said, and my name, his name, shall now endure. And his name has suffered great shame. It has suffered much in this hour. But he said his name shall endure for how long? Forever. And that's what David said. Did that mean that it was just perfect for David's time or for this time? It's for this time as well. I will show you for this time, because he said all flesh forever shall bless his name. So his name shall endure forever. The name of Yahweh shall endure forever. And there is a name, 68, four Psalms. It tells you that name before Psalm 72. David knew his name. We've read this as though it's been something coyish. Pawn. But he means what he says. David said, his what? So then his, who he's talking about, he must have a name. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be what? Say it loud. As long as what? Is the sun still existent? Do you see the sun? Do you see the sun in the morning that rise from the east and set in the west? Then what is the name of this one whose name shall continue as long as the sun? We see the sun every day. You look at the sun. Now what is this one's name? That his name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall what? And all nations shall call him what? Bless. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And as long as there's a sun, his name is still the same. As long as there's a sun, his name is still the same. As long as the sun shines, his name is still the same. It has not changed, saints. His name shall continue. continue to remain in existence, to remain in a place or condition, to resume an activity after interruption, to keep up, to maintain, to cause to continue. Synonyms: last, endure, abide, persist, mean to exist over a period of time or indefinitely. So his name. Then we need to find out what his name is. And if we don't know his name, we need to find out what that name is. He has a name that he said will continue as long as the sun. And the nation shall bless it, they shall call it a blessed name. It says in verse 18, bless ye Yahweh, the El of Yisrael, who doeth wonderful works. And bless be, let me go back, verse 18. Bless be the Lord God of Yisrael, who doeth wondrous things. All right? Let it be the Lord God for expedience. Now he says in verse 19, and bless be what? Now what is the glorious name? For how long? For what? But that was just for David. He said forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And it says the prayer of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. This was the prayer of David. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Same prayer Messiah prayed. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And I see the sun. You see the sun every day. It rises from the east. And as long as you see that, his name continues. He hasn't changed his name. Condition doesn't change his name. America can't change his name. Israel can't change his name. He has a name. It's a glorious name. It's a wonderful name. And I'm not going to be ashamed of his name either. Hallelujah. Psalms 135, verse 13. Look at verse 1 of that chapter. Psalms 135. Psalms 135. What does it say? Read it for me. Praise ye the Lord. Well, who is this Lord and what is his name? Saints, something is wrong with our mentality. If we can read that and not realize, even rationally, that there has to be a name. It tells you praise ye the Lord, doesn't it? And then it say praise ye the what? Name of the Lord. Praise him all ye servants of the Lord. Now that's what it says. Praise ye the Lord. And then it says now, okay, you go, bless you Lord, bless you Lord. Then it says, praise ye the name of the Lord. Now what is the name of that Lord you're praising? What is his name? What is the name of that Lord you're praising? That scripture. I can't take it back. We got to go forth in what he says. Verse 13 of the same chapter. It says, what? Thy what? Thy name, O what? O Lord, now. But the name of that Lord, his name what? Endureth for how long? Forever. His name endureth forever. Tell me, my friends, what is the name that endureth forever? His name, he had to have that name back then in order for it to endure forever. That name had to be back then, so is it relevant now? It cannot be. It had to be back then because David dealt with that name. You go back to Exodus, I'll read that. Whereby in Exodus, it talks about that name as well. So that name that David knew then, it has to be the same name that David knew. It has to be the same name now. Time has not caused it to change. Because if time has caused it to change, then thy name, O Yahweh, endureth forever. Well, his name cannot endure forever. His name endure forever. And thy memorial, O Yahweh, throughout all, how many? Throughout what? Oh, does that mean some generation? All generation. You know what a memorial is. It serves as a representation or a representative of the one or the thing to be remembered throughout the years. So he said that his memorial, his name shall be remembered throughout all generations. That's all. Are we all of a generation? Are we in one of those generations? Then he has a name that must be remembered in this generation as well. Throughout all generations, his name must be, his name, his memorial shall be throughout all generations. And we are part of the generations. We may be a Pacific generation, but we are part of the generations. From that time to now, generations have passed. Whether that's 70 years, 20 years, 50 years, there has been generations. There have been generations to pass. So he said, throughout all generations, there shall be a memorial. His name in his house. We've named them everything but after him. Everything but him. Everything. They've taken the name out. He put his name in his temple. When Solomon built the tabernacle, it was there for his name to be put there. What name was put there? Do you believe it was truly Lord? It wasn't Jesus. It was Yahweh. His name was in his temple. Yahweh. That is his name. And his name is going to be remembered throughout all generations. Throughout all generations. He said, I want you to go and look, and that is Yahweh. Well, that has nothing to do with me. I know. I know it doesn't. It only has to do with his people. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. And I have no doubt about that. Psalms 145. Listen to this. Psalms 145. Forever is what it says. His name shall endure, how long? Forever. Not temporal, but forever. Forever. Look at what Psalm says, Psalms 145, verse 1. Psalms 145, verse 1. David says, this is a psalm of praise. He said, I will extol thee, my God. O King, I will bless what? How long?
Forever.
And what?
Amen.
He said, not just forever, but forever and ever.
Amen.
Did he say he will bless him? Did he say he will bless his name?
Amen.
Come on, you saints. You that have in trouble with that, he has a name. He said, I will bless his name forever and forever. That's what he said. You can reject that all you want to. Then you must reject Psalms 23. Then you must reject the entire New Testament, because I'm going to show you something. They're dealing with it forever now. That's all right. I'm going to preach until I can't preach no more. And I'm going to preach in that wonderful name of Yahweh. Go ye to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and by the authority of the Son, and through the power and the anointing of the Kodesh, the Ra'ur Yahweh. We have missed that one simple thing because men have not sought Yahweh to understand his truth. Messiah didn't lie. He said, go to all nations. You baptize them in the name, first of all, of the Father. You must baptize them, first of all, in the name of the Father and of the Son. For the Son came to witness of that name. And because he witnessed of that name, he gives you authority. He spoke to you to give you authority to baptize, submerge them in water in that name. And we must be submerged in water in that name. In that name. For the Son came in the Father's name. He did not come in the name of Jesus. He did not come in the name of Jesus. He came in the name of Yahshua, the salvation of Yahweh. It is manifested unto you now. There should be no sin, nothing found in this perfect plan that will cause you to turn your heart against him. It will be a witness against all of your sins and all of your corrupt ways, for you will find no fault in him. So it's not Jesus. It's not Lord. And it isn't God. It's not Christ, the anointed one. No, it's Messiah, the anointing of Yah. Totally different. I spent quite a bit of time last night looking at just that word, anointing. I looked up the word Christ, and I looked up the different ways that it was spelled, and the derivatives, the etymology of the word. And I began to search the origin of it. And you will find out, I'm going to show you what, I'll show you exactly what it means. And where it came from, the origin, no, it's not some Yahweh people said it. It is just factualities of history. And that's just it. We've been a blind people being led by the blind. That's why we fell into many ditches and sin, shameful hurts. That's why we've fallen into sin. Messiah didn't fall into sin. He was a witness of the Father. And if we're a witness of Messiah, then we shouldn't fall into sin like that. Something is wrong in our spirit. We don't want to hear the truth. He said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name. Forever and ever. That's not hard to understand. You can read Psalms 23 and that bless your heart, and yet this doesn't. What is the name that David blessed forever? That was the name that David knew that he said, I will bless forever and ever. Well, that was for David. It was. He said in verse 2, every day will I bless thee. He said, I will bless you, and I will praise thy name. That's what he says. You that cannot praise his name, you better search your heart. Well, mama brought me this way. Mama's on her way to hell, the wicked thing, full of sin and corruption. Daddy died in his wicked sins. And thus the truth. David said, I will praise thy name. Thy name now, thy name forever and ever. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. He said, thy name is worthy to be praised, thy name. Thy name. You can't bless him without blessing his name. You say you love him, you can't love him without loving his name, and that's just it. We've been under the bondage of this Protestant all of our lives. She has built nothing but this Catholic doctrine. Everything we have learned has come by the dictate of this whore that produced these whore daughters. We've learned those traditions. We haven't gotten nowhere spiritually. We got homes and cars, but that don't even nick us what the rat's dung. There's no bright light shining whereby we are sitting that set upon a hill that men may see the good works of Yahweh in our lives. They can't discern that. Even the wicked should be able to see that. If he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. We won't lift up the name of Yahweh. You know, when you lift that name, people get, they wonder, what is that? Of course, I tell them what it is. I was there at the place on Monday, and I began to preach, and the fellow that I do business with, he just stood back. I wasn't ashamed to use the name of Yahweh. When I finished, he said, thanks for the preaching. We need, that was good.